It is a real privilege tonight to share with you a portion of God's Word, which I hope you have your Bibles with you. You would turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible in the 19th chapter, where we are going to commence our reading here with verse 4, Revelation chapter 19. And we want to commence with verse 4. The scene is in heaven, and a time of rejoicing has just been taking place. I'll not give you the first verses, but only the verse 1, first of all, and then I'll leave several verses out and go to verse 4. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power be unto our God. Then they rejoice over his judgments. And finally we get to verse 4, and he says, And the four of the 20 elders and the four beasts or living creatures fell down and worshiped God and that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. They get happy up there, and we ought to get in a good rehearsal down here to be at home up there. Verse 5, And a voice came out of the throne, saying, doesn't tell us whose voice it was, but listen what the voice instructs the people in heaven to do. Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, it keeps getting louder, saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And notice, while they're rejoicing, what they're rejoicing over is verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Why? Give honor to him. Why? For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. In verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Why? Because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and something else to rejoice over. And his wife hath made herself ready. This makes heaven glad. This makes all of the angels glad. This makes Jesus glad. It makes our hearts glad, too, when we see that the bride, the Lamb's wife, has finally, after all of the testings and the trials of life, after all her earthly sojourn, is ready to go home. And this bride hath made herself ready. A lady said to me, here in the church, Brother Hendricks, I don't understand that verse. Would you interpretate that to me? I said, I'll be very glad to. I said, while I share it with you, I want to take you over there to the book of Matthew in chapter 24. Because in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus said in verse 42, he said, Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then in chapter 25, and in verse 10 and verse 13, And they that were ready went with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice it. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Here are three references on the word ready. The Lamb's wife had made herself ready. Jesus commanded us to be ready. And he said, and those who took heed to the ready message, and those who took it seriously to heart, got ready, stayed ready, and were ready when the Lord came. Notice that Jesus said, Be ye also ready. He didn't say get ready. He said be ready. What's the difference? We are already the people of God. Jesus made us ready when he saved us. And so this lady asked me, she said, I don't understand this. How come the Lord said the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready? I thought all you needed to do to be ready for Jesus' coming is just get saved. Why did Jesus say that she hath made herself ready? Is there a mistake in there? I said, no. What constitutes being ready? What are the qualifications to be ready? What does it really mean to be ready? What did the Lamb's wife do to be ready? A diligent search of your Bible will answer the question. Those who have no answers, and those who give a shallow answer, or what kind of an answer you do give, tells how much you have thoroughly searched your Bible. I would like to have you notice very carefully with me this, first of all. The word ready is a very simple word, simple definition, but only tell us this. It means prepared for action. Ready means properly equipped. Ready also means of a willing mind and immediately available. Jesus, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, starting with verse 35, he said, let your lamps be burning. What did he mean by that, let your lamps be burning? In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, he said, and those virgins that arose when the bridegroom came, and they trimmed their lamps, and they said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. And the wise said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But you're going to have to just go and get your own. And when they went to obtain the oil, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Some preacher brother of mine said, now, Brother Henry, I never preach on that to my congregation. And I said, why not? He said, well, you see, that is strictly for the Jews. Oh, I said, I've been looking at that, and I didn't find Jews label on that anywhere. I said, what do you mean that's for the Jews? Well, he said, well, that don't fit us, because it kind of takes away from one of the important doctrines of our church. I said, what doctrine is that? Why, he said, don't you know? The security of the saints. I said, God doesn't take anything away from you that you don't have. I said, wait, now I'm going to ask you a question here. If this passage of Scripture is taking away from a good doctrine, a doctrine that you have chosen, may I ask you this? Would you continue reading the book of Matthew until you get to chapter 28? Would you go all the way over there to verse 20? For the Lord tells us there that he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing them how? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Then after you've done that, do what? Teaching them to do what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What has that got to do? Just this. Jesus said, you two boys, I want you to go in all the world. And I want you to preach the gospel to everybody. Leave nobody out. After you have preached them the gospel, and after you preach it good, and you got them repented of their sins, and you got them washed in the blood of Jesus by trusting in the merits of Calvary, and they got in the family of God, then baptize them. After you have baptized them, don't leave them then. Now they're ready to be taught. What am I going to teach them? Jesus said, you teach them everything I taught you. Teach them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, Jesus said, you disciples, you two boys, everything I told you fits them too, those Gentiles. He don't have two standards. So, that takes us back to look at that verse again a little closer. This isn't for the Jews alone. This is for me. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Do you know that your associate minister, your staff ministers, your pastor of this church, and all of we who are laboring and working here have a real responsibility for your souls before Almighty God? The Apostle Paul discharged it in this way. when he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, he said, I have espoused you to one husband. That's Jesus. Lamb's wife made herself ready for her husband, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Do you see what kind of a bride Jesus is going to have? It has to be the best. Jesus is going to have a chaste virgin bride. And all of the efforts of this church and all the efforts of every minister is to help you to be ready for His coming. Every effort, every prayer, every longing of our heart is that all of God's children will be a glorious church, unblameable in holiness before Him at His coming. And for this we labor fervently, day and night in prayer, and in ministry and in service, that not a one that came within the sound of the gospel would be unprepared. When Jesus said, be ye also ready. Notice the word also ready. Why did he say also? That word has a very significant place in that passage of Scripture. You've already been saved. You've already trusted in the merits of the blood. You've already entered into the family of God. You are already walking with the Lord in newness of life. You are already a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, be ye also ready. I'd like to just take that word with you to several passages in the Bible to elaborate on it and to open it a little bit clearer to our understanding. Do you know one of the most beautiful passages is found in the book of Exodus chapter 19? And in verse 11, the Lord has spoken already to Moses. He said, Moses, in 3 days, I am going to appear on the top of Mount Sinai in a cloud. And I want you to tell the people, be ready against the third day. For in the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all of the people on Mount Sinai. Notice it. When he comes, he said, be ready. Do you get that? Listen to this. And when the Lord came, what announces coming? There was a tremendous sound. There was a noise, a thunder, an earthquake. There was a blasting of the trumpets as the angels heralded the coming of the Lord to a mountain to meet with the Jewish people. The first people to ever have a view of Almighty God were the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. And before he arrived, he says, 3 days before, they were to meet him at the mount. He says, Moses, tell the people who are already the people of God, be ready against the third day. Do you get that? Listen. When I go to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 6, starting verse 7 through 14, we are told there about the building of Solomon's temple, the beautiful temple, which is one of the seven wonders of the world of its time. A very elaborate and a very expensive, a very costly place. All of the stones were made ready in the quarries before they were brought for the building of this temple. God made a commandment that not a sound of a hammer would ever be heard in the placing of the stones together. All had to be in readiness ahead of time. The job was done in one place. The erecting of the beautiful temple was put up in Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Do you get that message? You and I are members one of another. You and I are lively stones. We are the Lord's building. All of us together are to be fitly joined together. Compacted, that means held tight together, by that which every joint supplieth. Each and every one of us are to contribute and help and minister one to the other in the body of Jesus Christ in helping us all to be in readiness to meet Him at His coming. This Bible tells us that we are living stones and we come from all the four corners of the earth and we're all going to be gathered together and we are the Lord's building, we are the Lord's temple. For there shall be no temple in the city of God. We are that temple. We are the Lord's house. We are the Lord's building. We are the habitation of God through the Spirit. And we are all stones down here in the faraway place, separated from heaven, and we're getting ready down here. And when all the stones are brought together in that day, after they've been shaped and all the chiseling work, all of the carving work, all the sculpture work has been completed, and getting all the rough bumps and all the knots and all of the wavy places and all the warped and all the distorted places all straightened out, everything is fitly shaped, then the Lamb's wife is ready for the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is telling us this. Heavens, rejoice! That great voice from heaven said, and be glad, for the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready. Listen, do you know that anxiously our Lord is waiting to take his bride home? The word of the Lord tells us over there in the book of Jude in verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, Jesus, present you and me faultless before his presence. Who's going to do the presenting? Him. Who is going to do the work in making us faultless? He is going to do it. I don't work myself up into a faultless condition. He is working on me. He's working on you. He's getting us ready. Do you know in your Bible the Lord tells us so gloriously this precious truth? He says this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which he had before ordained that we should walk in them. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. I'm not trying to make myself what I am not. I'm relying, I'm yielding, I'm surrendering, I'm consecrating myself to him. Just like he said over there in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. He said, yield yourselves unto God. And by the way, as instruments unto righteousness, and have your fruit unto holiness. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto righteousness. Brothers and sisters, when we yield ourselves to God, we give him room to move and shape and mold and make us what we ought to be. Do you know, Nehemiah one day caught that key word, ready. And he said in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, he said, for thou art God, ready to pardon. If there's anybody here tonight outside of Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, you've never been saved, I want you to know that God right now is ready and waiting to pardon you of all your transgressions. For if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The word of God says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, that's real repentance, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God is ready to forgive when I'm ready to repent and I'm ready to turn from my wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal our land. This Bible tells us this, for the Lord God shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, hello, till the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Notice that when would Jesus come? After the seasons of refreshing have come from the presence of the Lord. When will those seasons of refreshing come? What is the refreshing? If you look with me into your Bible in the book of Isaiah chapter 28 verses 11 through 13, you'll find out what the refreshing is. He said in his own word, the season of refreshing is no more, no less than the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the refreshing. This is the rest, whereby ye may cause the weary to rest. When the outpoured spirit comes, it's because people are ready for the pour. God will not pour out of his spirit in many places, not because he doesn't want to, but because the vessels are too leaky. They got to get all the holes patched in their glory bag. And then God will pour out. And when he pours, he'll let somebody pour on. Listen, in the book of James in chapter 5, and it says this, the husbandman, that's the Lord, the husbandman waiteth. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's you and me. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. What is he waiting for? Until this precious fruit received the early and the latter rain. You see, when we got saved, that was early rain. That was when that Spirit of God came into our heart, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But I want you to know that there's more than the early rain. Let's get into the latter rain. Some people only know about the splatter rain. But oh, to get into that latter rain of the outpouring of the Spirit, because even in the land of the Bible, you know, the latter rain, which is in the harvest season of the year, it is always a gully washer. I mean, when it comes, it just comes down good, hot, and heavy. And when it comes down, it comes to bring great refreshing to the weary plant life that has been of a long time waiting and thirsting for a good drink before the harvest sets in. And the Lord's waiting for the harvest of this earth, and the thing that he's waiting for, that harvest, until he said the precious fruit of the earth, that it may receive the early and the latter rain. If you would go with me in that same book of James in chapter 5 and look at verse 8. For in here, he tells us our personal relationships one to the other, keeping us in readiness for if it is coming. He said, be ye also patient. Notice the word also patient. Why is that also there? The same reason why it was also concerning the bride. Also patient. In other words, this word also shows that there's some other things that you've already fulfilled. And now, bear this in mind, you need to be patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Why does he tell us to be patient and establish our heart? When you are patient and you have your heart established, you are making yourself ready. You are that bride who hath made herself ready. He didn't come for a wishy-washy bride, a spineless bride that has a sweet potato vine running up her back for a backbone. He's coming for a bride who is rooted and grounded and established and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He is coming for a people who are really anchored in Jesus, who are on the solid rock. When Brother Wayne talked this morning about the rains ascending, the winds blowing, and that Bible says, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not. Didn't faze it, because it was founded upon that rock. And I want you to know that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When you are established, that means that I'm anchored to the rock. And if you are on the rock, you can't be on the rocks. The next verse in James chapter 5, verse 9. He said, be careful of your attitude toward each other, because remember, the bridegroom is coming and the bride's making herself ready. And so he says, grudge not one against another. Don't gripe, don't fuss, don't chew your bits, and don't you bawl anybody out and insult, and don't you hold grudges or ill will or resentment toward anybody. Keep the love flowing one to the other and for each other. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. That's pretty close to him opening it. That's pretty close to him coming. And you know this, the message was given here by James. The message was written by him for us. It wasn't written by him for them back there alone exclusively, but it's written for you and me too. And all of them that are looking and waiting for his coming. The word of the Lord tells us that we are to be ready. The Lamb's wife, the bride, hath made herself ready. Listen to me tonight. Have you ever checked this verse out? Have you ever examined the word of the Lord on what it means to be ready? What constitutes readiness? Said, Lord, I just want to be sure that I am ready in shipshape to leave out of here. I want to be sure that my heart is in tune with heaven. And not only me, but Lord, I want to help everybody else to get ready too. Dear ones, tonight you and I are members one of another. We are to show the same care, the same concern, the same interest, the same yearning for each other to be ready for the coming of the Lord as we would want others to show toward us. When I look into my Bible, I'm going to check and see what kind of a bride, what kind of a lamb's wife is she going to be? What is Jesus coming for anyhow? The scripture says his wife had made herself ready. I want to know what kind of a bride is he going to have? When I look into my Bible, I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians now and in chapter 5. And he tells me something there about the preparation that has been going on, making us ready. In Ephesians in chapter 5, the Lord says, husbands, you love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself, and no man ever hated his own body. But what does he do? He nourishes and he cherishes it. Even so, Christ the church. Do you get that? In the union of husband and wife is the same context, the same relationship of the union of Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom, and you and me, his bride. And he said that as a husband nourishes and cherishes his body, and you ladies don't have to have anybody to tell you, men sure do that. But listen, don't miss the application. We can kind of think, yeah, men really love themselves, all right, and they sure pet and pamper their old bodies, all right, and all they think about is eating stuff and perfuming and fixing it up and putting pretty clothes on it. But I want you to know this. It says, even so, Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. Don't lose that. Don't lose that in the light of the other. Jesus cherishes you. He loves you. He nourishes us. He builds us upon our most holy faith. He edifies us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He exhorts us. He ministers to us so that we will be his bride, his precious, chosen, ready bride to meet him at his coming. Dear hearts, if you would go with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 9, one day, a group of Herodians and Pharisees came to Jesus. And they said to him, why is it that we and the Pharisees, we fast, but how come it to be that your disciples, they don't fast at all? How come? We don't think that this is fair. We don't think that this thing is right. And notice how Jesus answered them. He said, as long as the bridegroom is here with the disciples, they shall not fast. But after he is taken, then shall they fast. What is he telling us here? He said, I am the bridegroom. My bride is here getting ready. As long as I am here on earth with my bride, they do not fast. Why? Because wherever Jesus and the bride are, there is no fasting, there is feasting. When we get to heaven, after the bride and the bridegroom are reunited, there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. great celebration feast when all of the body of Jesus Christ, of which he is the head, come together. As long as the bridegroom is with them, they won't fast. But after he is taken, they will fast then. Do you know over there in the book of John in the 3rd chapter, John is speaking and he said, he that hath the bride is who? The bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth by, rejoiceth to hear his voice. Who has the bride? The bridegroom and nobody else. The bridegroom is Jesus. And his bride is you and me, and he has us. And I want you to know that the Lord wants us more than the devil wants us back. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, he has her. And he is working now through his Holy Spirit and through his ministers and through his teachers and through his apostles and through his prophets and through his evangelists. He is working on that bride to make her ready. Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin. If he would present the church of which he was responsible to Jesus. Do you know there are a number of beautiful scriptures. I would like to have you turn with me, for instance, to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, it tells us here about the presenting of ourselves to our wonderful Lord. There are 4 passages in the New Testament concerning this presentation. And I want you to know that, brothers and sisters, the real burden of the heart of every servant of God is that when we present you to Jesus, you'll be the chaste virgin bride. But we won't be the only ones presenting. Jesus is going to present us to himself. He's going to work even whether we work or not. He will minister to you. If the preachers let you down, he won't let you down. But by the help of God, we won't let you down. Listen to Colossians 1 and 22. I'd like to introduce it with verse 21 because it helps us to understand a little bit better. And you that were sometime alienated, disconnected, you see, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's what we were by sinners. We were separated and cut off from the life of God through the ignorance that was in us because of the blindness of our heart. We were alienated. But I want you to know this, that he hath now reconciled. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, how? Holy. What else? Unblameable. What else? Unreprovable in his sight. Sometimes we have people who are very good. They say, bless God, I'm a fruit inspector. You don't look very holy to me. You don't very look unblameable to me. You sure don't look like you're unreprovable to me. I see a lot of faults with you. But I want you to know it's in his sight. He looks different than man looks at. Man judges on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And do you know, when Jesus presents this bride to himself, look at the kind of a bride he's going to have. She's going to be holy. She's going to be unblameable. She's going to be unreprovable. Say, I wouldn't mind having a bride like that, would you? If I was Jesus' shoes, how would you, wives, like to have a husband like that? So that's too good to be true. But I want you to know this, that we're all stones. We're building under construction. The Lord is working on us to make us ready for his coming. He's going to present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing. He's going to present it to himself faultless. And he's going to be exceedingly glad to do that. Dear hearts, there's an important message I want to share with you in closing out of the service tonight. And that is this. What constitutes being ready for the Lord's coming? I have searched my Bible out very, very carefully on this subject. It means a lot to me. I want to measure up to the Word of God. I want to know if I really have lined up to what constitutes readiness. I want to be sure that I'm ready. And in my being sure about my own walk with God, I can help you better to be ready. But first, I want to apply the truth to my own heart. So I began to check up and see what the Lord says. concerning it. I notice when the bridegroom came, those who were not ready, they trimmed their lamps. What else did they do? They asked the wise to give us of your oil. Why were they asking for oil? They said, our lamps are gone out. They knew that the lamps were to be burning because Luke chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said, let your lamps be trimmed and burning. And theirs weren't trimmed and their lamps weren't burning. So the only thing they could do was trim them. But there's one thing about it that they couldn't do, and that was they couldn't fill them. There's only one that's in the filling business, and that's the Lord. And I want you to know, beloved, tonight, that on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, in the 8th chapter, there were those in Samaria who had received the word of God that had been baptized in water, but they had not yet received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this, that two of the brethren, Peter and John, the big guns from Jerusalem, went up to Samaria. They had heard about them getting saved, and they wanted to help them on in God. They wanted to have a little ministry invested in them, helping them to go deeper into God. And what did they do? They went up there, and the scripture says they prayed for them. What did they pray for? It says that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And so they went up there. They had a prayer meeting, but that didn't work. We've been in a lot of prayer meetings and we said, oh my, this prayer meeting, it's not, the Spirit of God's not moving yet. How come? But one thing about it, bless your dear heart, they wouldn't give up. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They knew that the Spirit of God is for everybody and knew that those people needed to be filled. What did they do? They laid hands on them in the name of the Lord, and God's Spirit came on them with mighty power. And they were filled. And in the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul went over there to the city of Ephesus and he checked their spiritual pulse. Yes, they were the bride, but they weren't quite ready. He said, my, these meetings are cold, these meetings are dry, these meetings are kind of dead. Dried up like old last year's bird nest. He said, folks, I want to ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, Holy Ghost? We haven't even heard whether there be any. He said, well, how are you baptized then? They said, John's baptism. He said, well, folks, you're going to have to get baptized over again. And after they were baptized again in the name of the Lord, then they laid their hands on them, and what happened? My Bible tells me that they were filled with the Spirit of God. But notice the question again. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There is a Holy Ghost. He is to be received. He is to be received by believers, because he said after you believe. He is to be received after you become a believer. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now notice that. After you become a believer. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 7. It is a great feast day. The Lord Jesus has come to the city of Jerusalem. And it's a very important occasion. And he is speaking in chapter 7, commencing over there with verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and, the word in King James says, cried. Some people wonder, what in the world is Jesus crying about? That word cry means shouted. He shouted. What did he shout? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Why? Out of his belly or his innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, there's a scriptural believing. He said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe on Jesus should receive. Notice it. The believers should receive. And since the believers should receive, what would make us more ready for the Lord's coming than the help, the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives? We took a year and a half sharing with the adult class 60 things the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. When I see all that he wants to do and can do and will do to help me as part of the bride to be ready for the Lord's coming, I need his help. I cannot in my own self measure up to this high standard. It's too high for all of us to attain. But I want you to know this. This Bible tells us it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. I want you to know in that book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21, he tells us over there concerning the ministry of our Lord and working in us, the body of Jesus Christ, to get us ready for heaven. He said this, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, he said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, this same Lord now, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. He it is now working in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. It is he who is working in us. He's working on the building, getting it ready. So when the Lamb's wife had made herself ready, she has yielded, surrendered, consecrated. I want to be above reproach. Lord, I just want to be your choice bride, the best bride that you could have. And if you feel that way about it, I want you to know this. Everyone that has this hope of the Lord's coming, everyone, he said, that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. There is something that I do. There is my part. I don't just lay down and the Lord pokes the Holy Ghost in me some night when I'm sleeping. No, no. It don't work that way. I want you to know this. There are some things for you and me to do. He says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of the Lord. He says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. He tells us, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Yes, there are some things for me to do, all right. But I want you to know this, that I'm not saved by works and I'm not kept by works. That's why he said to old foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you or who doed you or fooled you, that you should not obey the truth. He said, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you get the Holy Ghost? By working your way in and working up in a lather to earn, to deserve? No, no. He said, you receive the Spirit by faith. You trusted in the Lord. And I want you to know this, that he'll never disappoint your soul. You are his bride, the Lamb's wife. I would like to have you take, in closing, how many closings do I get? Paul had two or three. Oh, I'm safe then. I'm going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, the word of the Lord tells us here that there was a certain king that made a wedding for his son. And it tells us that this precious son of his, there was great activity involved in it. He made a wedding for his only son. That certain king is God. That son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to his servants, you go and invite those that have been called to the wedding. For you are to tell them, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. And the marriage is ready. Come. Notice in verse 8. It's ready. Come. And they that heard the invitation turned up their nose at it. Treated it lightly. And what happened? And when the servants came back, those other ministers of Jesus Christ had to come back and said, Lord, we went out, we gave them the invitation, but they just turned thumbs down on it. They ignored it. They made light of it. And he said, well, they were not worthy. But go out into where? Highway, where else? Yes. And you get others to come and take their place. and the wedding was furnished. And mark it down, there was one there, and that fella has brought no end to trouble to many Bible teachers and preachers. I said, how in the world did that fella make it there to the wedding? And he was naked, stark naked, naked as a chamber. And the Lord of the feast said, friend, how comest thou hither not having on the wedding garment? And he was speechless. And it was sad what happened to him. Jesus took an earthly story of a wedding here on the earth, but he made a spiritual application that you and I need to take close attention to. Why? If you would go with me to the book of the Revelation in chapter 3 and see the Lord speaking to the church of Sardis, this church got equally the same kind of message from our Lord, the church of Sardis. And he said this, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not I come upon thee. Now look at the fourth verse. Thou hast a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. Do you get that? You have a few in your church that have not defiled their garments. James 1:27 says, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. The world will spot you. That's why we are to be a separated people. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. I'll be a father to you, and be my sons and my daughters. And then in the third chapter, the Laodicean church, they said, we are rich and increase in goods and have need of nothing. The Lord says, you are what? Poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, and you're blind, and what else? Naked. This was a church that was naked, please, sir. They were naked. How come? Jesus doesn't have a naked church. In the book of Isaiah 61 and 10, he tells us that he clothes us with the garments of salvation. And he gives us the robe of righteousness. If he gives us this kind of clothing and this kind of a robe, how can she be naked? Defiled garments makes for nakedness. How do I know? I'm going in the closing scripture to the book of Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. And the next word is this, and keepeth his garments. The bride making herself ready. The bride hath made herself ready. Blessed is he that watcheth and what? Keepeth his garments. Why? Lest he walk naked. He must already have them. You couldn't keep your garments unless you already had them. He says, keep your garments. What does it mean, keep your garments? Keep them clean. Lest he walk naked. Dirty garments, naked. You know, that really came home to me. The bride hath made herself ready. And she is arrayed, verse 9, in white linen. Pure. Clean. For the white linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. The righteousness. He has made us righteous. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He made him, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am made righteous. God declares me righteous because I received Jesus. And remember this, in that righteousness, he clothes me with the garments of salvation. He gives me the robe of righteousness. Is your robe on? Or are you naked? The bride hath made herself ready. She who has made herself ready is one who still has her clothes on. God hates nakedness. And anyone that's not saved tonight, you're naked as a jaybird. Amen. You got to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the garments of his salvation. How do you get them? Simple. It's a free gift. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever leaves nobody out includes everyone. Whosoever shall call. You and I have called all of our lives. We know what it means to call. But you can't just call on anybody, Mohammed and Confucius or Buddha. But whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, on the name of the Lord, shall. God shall mean shall. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. If you're not saved tonight, Jesus wants you saved. We want you saved. All of the angels of heaven are anxious and looking down on this service tonight, waiting your response. Please bow your head with me in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we reverently bow our hearts to you tonight. We thank you that the bride is making herself ready. We thank you for the dear bride of Christ, the blood-bought, the redeemed. O Lord God of heaven, who have hearkened to your command that said, be ye also ready. Who took it seriously enough to find that it really does work. For they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Lord, we don't want to be on the outside. We want to be on the inside. And Lord, anyone within the sound of the gospel call tonight that is outside of Jesus Christ or has any doubt of their personal union and relationship to you, grant, Lord, thy Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts that they be ready. Our joys will be full. Our hearts will be glad. But all the body is fitly joined together. Lord, we know that we feel best, most comfortable. We feel the most at home around those who are clean since you washed us. We pray, Lord God, keep us clean. And we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to prescribe the remedy, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all unrighteousness. To those who came here tonight, they feel spotted, speckled. They feel dirty. They feel unclean. We're not here to condemn them, but we're here to extend your mercies, your love, your forgiveness, and your pardon. And I ask you even now, precious Lord, by your Spirit, brood over this congregation, and may the angels of heaven rejoice over sinners repenting, backsliders being reclaimed, and the children of God who have any doubt of their readiness. They didn't know what it meant to be ready, but now they do. That they will move into you tonight, Lord, and believe you and receive you in your deeper work of grace, working in our heart to will and to do of your own good pleasure, that we all, without an exception, shall be ready to meet you at your coming. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Christians are earnestly, fervently praying, I would like to just see and let the angels of heaven see, and let Jesus, who's reaching out over the balcony of heaven tonight, many of your loved ones are already on the other side. They're anxious to see your hand raised. How many of you really are saved and you know it and your heart is clean before God? Put them up. Put those hands up before God. They're looking on. They're looking on. Jesus is glad for you to honor him that way. Thank you. You may put them down. I know that all did not because you were too honest in your heart. You couldn't honestly say that I'm ready. But I'm sure that in your heart you want to be in that great, beautiful, ransom throng that shall be with Christ in the glorious meeting of the air, the marriage supper of the Lamb, to be forever with our Lord. And you would like to be in that number, and you need prayer, and you would appreciate it if somebody cared enough about your soul to bear you up before the throne. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I want to be in that number too. Anybody? Thank you. I see the hand raised. God bless you. Yes. Is there another? God bless you. Yes. Thank God. And these children appreciate their hands raised too. The Lord sees them. God bless you, children. Beautiful. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, children. God can speak to the boys and girls' hearts, and I know that. And we're glad that they are moving toward the Lord tonight. Is there anybody else? By the upraised hand, say, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. I want to be ready to leave when he comes. Who knows? But before this day comes to its close, Jesus could be here. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? If you are ready for his coming, then you are also ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Father, for the upraised hands, we're thankful that you put it in the heart to express a desire toward you of wanting to be in the family of God, wanting to be ready for you at your coming, dear Jesus. Speak to their heart and draw them to yourself. As we come to this altar call, may many, Lord, move toward you because you're tugging at their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom and liberty to declare this simple message from your holy book. And may it feed the souls of the believers. May it strengthen the weak. May those who are unconcerned and indifferent and careless and loose in their living, may it, Lord God of heaven, disturb them to action, to straighten up and get cleaned up, to be ready to go up. Oh, we ask it in Jesus' name.